God's Word Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I have entitled this message, The Faith of Abraham. I'm going to be speaking from Romans chapter 4, and it would be helpful if you can get a Bible and follow along with me, because I'm going to look at this entire chapter. That's a lot of ground to cover in this short time, but I am going to try to do it. Abraham's faith, the faith of Abraham. Now, listen to this statement carefully. I'm not saved by my faith. I'm saved by Christ. I'm saved by grace. I believe that. I'm not saved by my faith, but I am not saved without faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Now, what is faith? Well, whatever faith is, it's what Abraham believed. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 4, Abraham is called the father of us all. Now, who is Paul referring to when he's referring to all? He's not talking about all men without exception, but he is talking about all who believe, all of the elect, all of those Christ died for. Abraham is the father of us all. And he's not talking about being our physical ancestor. He's talking about being our spiritual father. Believers are said to be the seed of Abraham. And every believer is a spiritual son of Abraham. They possess the same faith Abraham had. Now, in verse 19 of chapter 4, Paul says, being not weak in faith, speaking of Abraham, being not weak in faith. We read in verse 20, he was strong in faith. Now, this is very important. When you think of weak faith and you think of strong faith, you think of those words as being an adjective describing faith. Well, there's a faith that's weak, and then there's a faith that's strong. Do you know those words are not adjectives? They're verbs. Abraham being not weakened in faith. Abraham was strengthened in faith. Abraham was enabled in faith. And if you and I are going to possess the same faith Abraham had, we're going to have to be enabled by the same grace that enabled Abraham to have this faith that he has. Now, faith is the gift of God. God doesn't give weak faith. God gives faith. Now, we, through our unbelief, can affect the way we feel, but the word weak is never used as an adjective to describe faith. And I hope that becomes very understandable by the time this message has ended. Now, Romans chapter 3 is probably a passage that I would select if I was called upon to preach the gospel to somebody who is dying. I'd want to take him to Romans chapter 3 because I think the gospel of God's grace is so clearly set forth in this passage of Scripture. This tells how God can be just, absolutely just, and yet justify people who are unjust, who are ungodly. He says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God That describes me. That describes you. There's not much difference between men. Whether he's a righteous man, he's not so righteous. No, they're both sinners. One may look a little better than the other, but God looks on the heart. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified. And this is talking about that one who sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. Now, God's grace can take somebody who is utterly wicked with nothing to bring to the table before God and cause them to be absolutely just before God, without sin, sinless, standing before God without guilt. Does that sound attractive to you? Let's go on reading. Being justified freely. That means there's nothing you do to earn this. It's His free gift. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, when Christ Jesus died on Calvary's tree, He redeemed. He didn't make redemption possible. He redeemed. Now here's what happened as a result of His redeeming work, whom God, verse 25, has set forth to be a propitiation. Now that is not a word that's used quite a bit, but it's a very simple word. A sin-removing sacrifice. You see, when Christ died, He removed the sins of those He died for. He made them not to be. Whom God has set forth or foreordained to be a propitiation, a sin removing sacrifice through faith in His blood. Now, it wasn't the faith that made the sin go away. It was the blood of Christ. Faith believes that. Through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. Not just His mercy, not just His love, not just His forgiveness, but His righteousness. That He might be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Now, my dear friends, that's how a sinner is saved. It's wholly what God does for them. He puts their sin away. He gives them His righteousness. He declares them just before Him. And if God declares you to be just, that means you are absolutely just before Him. Now, Paul had set forth this so clearly. He says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That was Paul's conclusion. Now, what does that mean? Paul is going to tell us in Romans chapter 4. Now, he says in verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? We're talking about justification by faith. Where does Abraham fit in? Well, he goes on to say, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. If God saved him because of something he did, right down to an act of his free will, if that's what made the difference, he would have something he could glory in and take credit for. But Paul tells us, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture, and this is the only appeal, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now that's referring to what took place in Genesis chapter 15 when God said, can you count the stars? Abraham said, no. He said, so shall thy seed be. Abraham, as yet, had no children. But he didn't have any evidence that that would take place other than the word of God. God said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed God. He believed God who cannot lie. Now, verse 4. To him that worketh, You think salvation is dependent upon you in some way, something you must do. To him that worketh is the reward, heavenly glory, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you're saved in any way by something you do, if something you do contributes to your salvation, that means God is your debtor. And my dear friend, that shall never be. But, verse 5, to him that worketh not, you know, as far as you are, there's no way you can be saved by your works. You really believe that all you are is sin in and of yourself. Even your best works before God are filthy rags. That's what the scripture says. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, you've seen who God is. And because of seeing who he is, you see who you are. You know you can't be saved by your works. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now here's what you believe. You believe that what Christ did enabled God to actually justify and clear of all guilt ungodly sinners, so they stand before God without guilt, perfectly righteous in his sight. Now that man who works not but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now look in verse 9 of this same chapter. Paul asks this question, cometh this blessedness of being justified, this blessedness of having the righteousness of Christ as your personal righteousness before God and your sin blotted out. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. God revealed himself to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He was an uncircumcised man, and he was not circumcised until Genesis chapter 17. All circumcision was a sign. It didn't really do anything for Abraham. It didn't add to his salvation. It didn't do anything for his salvation. It was just a sign. And he received, verse 11, the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. Nothing changed when he was physically circumcised. When he was uncircumcised, he believed the gospel, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision, to them which were not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being yet uncircumcised. Now, if you and I have faith, we have the same faith Abraham had. We have the same faith Abel had. We had the same faith Moses had, and Noah had, and Jacob and Isaac had. And all of the Old Testament saints were saved the same way through faith in Christ. Abel, when he came into God's presence with that blood of the sacrifice of the lamb, he knew it wasn't the lamb's blood that saved him as far as that physical lamb, but what that lamb pointed to, the promised coming Messiah. Everyone who is saved the same way and believe the same thing. Now, verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world, and that's the promise, joint heirs with Christ, heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed, that's all who believe, through the law. It was not dependent upon their obedience to some law. It was not dependent upon some action of theirs that caused God to respond to them. Not at all. But through the righteousness of faith. You see, the only righteousness a believer has comes through faith. Not through works of personal obedience, through faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, If I'm an heir because of some act of obedience on my part, faith is made void. Throw faith out the window. It's useless. And the promise made of none effect. God might have promised something, but it was meaningless if salvation is according to the law. I'm not saved because of an act of my obedience. I'm saved because of the promise of God. He promised salvation to everyone His Son died for, to everyone who looks to His Son only. Faith is to look to Christ only. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. That's all the law ever does. It works wrath. It produces resentment. The strength of sin is the law. You know, no one has ever been made to love God through the law. It hadn't happened. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it, righteousness, a perfect standing before God, justification, is of faith, not by works, but faith. Those two things are contrary to each other. They're opposed to each other, not by works, but faith. And here's why, that it might be by grace. The only way salvation is by grace is if it comes through faith and not of works. To the end, for this purpose, that the promise might be sure, absolutely sure, to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of our father Abraham, who is the father of us all, every believer. As it's written, I love the way Paul always refers to as it's written. As it's written. What I'm teaching is not something new or novel, Paul says. It's what's always been taught in the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures are just as inspired as the New Testament scriptures are. And if you don't have the Old Testament, you don't have the New Testament. Thank God for the whole Bible. As it's written, this is God speaking, I have made thee. Now, salvation is what God does. It's not a cooperative effort between God and men. I have made thee. Not I've offered thee, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, when God said that to Abraham, Abraham had not yet had Isaac. And yet God said, I've made thee a father of many nations. He said it's accomplished before it happened. You see, God's will is so supreme that when He wills it, it is in the past tense before it takes place. Hebrews 4:3 says, all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God is eternal, and everything He does is eternal. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Now look what it says next. It says, before Him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now here's the God that Abraham believed, the God who gives life to the dead. That was seen in raising His Son from the dead. That's seen when He gives dead sinners spiritual life in the new birth. It'll be seen at that final resurrection. Only God can give life to the dead. Man can't do that, but God can. That which is impossible with men is possible with God. And He calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, I'm not holy in and of myself. God says regarding me, He's holy. You know what? I'm holy. I'm not just in and of myself. I'm unjust. But God calls me just. And you know what? What God says is so. I am just. He calls those things that be not as though they were. And the reason He does that is because that's how it is. You see, when Christ put away my sin, I have no sin. I'm holy before God. I am perfectly righteous before God. This is not just changing ledger sheets. I am because of the work of Christ in my behalf. Now he goes on to speak of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, here's what this means when it says he against hope believed in hope. When there was no hope, he had full hope. How is that? And being not weakened in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, nor when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here's why he was not weakened in faith. He didn't consider himself. Now, he was 100 years old. He didn't consider Sarah. She had already gone through the act of menopause, and it was impossible for them to have children. He did not look within. Now, if you or I look within to look for some evidence of spiritual life, we're looking in the wrong place. And that is contrary to faith. Faith looks to Christ. It looks to His glorious promise. It looks to His achievements. It doesn't look within. If you look within, if you find something that makes you think you're saved, you've been deceived. Do not look within. Abraham didn't. He considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. You're going to be the father of many nations. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, that word strong is a verb, and it's in the passive tense. It means Abraham was acted on. The reason he wasn't weakened in faith is because he was strengthened in faith. And God was the one who did this to him. He was divinely enabled in faith. God did this for him. Being strong, being strengthened in faith, he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. And the reason he was fully persuaded is God persuaded him. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, here's what faith is. Faith is believing his ability. It's that simple. Now, I'm not asking you if you're a Christian. I'm not asking you if you're saved. I'm not asking you if you've been born again. I'm not asking you if you can look within and find evidences that make you think God has done something for you. I'm asking you this. Are you like Abraham, who believed God was able to do whatever he said he would do? Here's how it reads. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. There's where faith is. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now that word commit is only found in 2 Timothy 1:12, and it's the word deposit. Like when you go to the bank to deposit money. Now I realize in our day, my daughter does this, she deposits checks through her phone. And I'm sure it's because of my backwardness or ignorance, but I just won't do that. I've got to go in the bank. I've got to make sure they have the money. I can't rest by doing it over the phone when I'm not in the bank. I'm afraid it'll get lost in cyberspace. I know that's silly, but I'm just backwards in those kind of things. I've got to go in the bank. And now once I've deposited that money, my hands are off in the sense it's up to the bank to take care of it. Not me. It's the bank's responsibility. Now, Paul is saying this, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him, deposited to him. Now listen to me. If Christ didn't do it all, I won't be saved. I am relying completely on his ability to save me without my works. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Jude put it this way in Jude 24, now unto him that is able, there's the emphasis, his ability, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. The only way you and I will not fall is him keeping us from falling. But let's go on reading. And to present you faultless. Faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Do you believe that he is able to present you faultless, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, having never sinned? You say, well, if I have sinned, how can he present me before God having never sinned? Because he is able to put that sin away, give you his perfect righteousness, and you now have a new history. He said, behold, I make all things new. Verse 22 says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. This wasn't just for Abraham, but for us also. For us also. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And we know why he did it. Here's why he died. He was delivered for our offenses. My sin and my iniquity became his. That's why God killed him. God wasn't killing the innocent when Christ was dying on the cross. He was killing the guilty. Christ became guilty of the commission of my sin. He bore them in his own body on the tree. But he did something that no man can ever do. He satisfied the justice of God. He put those sins away. They are gone. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. When Christ was raised from the dead, every believer was justified before God. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, if you write or email or get it off our website, we will send you this message. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.